Strange objects in the sky, the residents of sound. David Cereda with us, and we'll get your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with David Cereda. We're going to take your calls as well as we talk about these invisible UFOs and, of course, the resonance of sound, which is truly remarkable. David, do you listen to these frequencies often?
Oh, yeah, George. You know, I work with them and I generate them, and I'm disturbed by, you know, the current scales. I like solfeggio, but I don't use it anymore because I see this more perfect scale from the Great Pyramid, and I believe that is the scale that Jesus taught, which is referred to in the Gospel of the Egyptians as the seven sacred tones that you chant 22 times each.
Gregorian chants are built around this, aren't they?
I think the Gregorian chants were built around the 5-1 scale.
Yeah.
What I'm calling the 5-1-5-1 scale. And I think we theorized that we got this because nobody knows their scale. It's hidden somewhere in the Vatican. And when you see how sound eventually turns into light, and you think of the resurrection, and you know, in Tibetan Buddhism, they have something called the rainbow body, and all the Tibetans do, their whole practice is sound. And chanting mantras and sound and sound and sound and getting the body to resonate higher and higher and higher until it becomes light. And some of these Tibetan masters did the same thing. Their physical body turns into light and they only leave the hair, the scalp, you know, as evidence that they really physically transformed. We know from the Shroud of Turin, the evidence suggests that the cloth was burned by some type of intense radiation during that transfiguration process. Well, what happens with frequency is, see, the base of the brain in theta waves, you have like less than one wave a second all the way to four waves a second. And then, I mean, delta, that's delta. And then theta is 4 to 8 waves a second. And then alpha waves are 8 to 13 or 14 waves a second. And then eventually, you know, the beta part of the brain gets into the audible spectrum. We start hearing beta waves, which, you know, we hear 20 hertz. If you have good ears, you can hear 20 hertz, all the way to 20,000 hertz. You see how the frequency is going up?
And yeah, before, it's a big difference, isn't it?
But before, when you get to 1,000 hertz in an electronic coil, you're generating light. You're actually generating radio waves. You can even generate them less than that. But when you start to get into 10,000 hertz and 20,000 hertz, you're well into the radio spectrum, and then you get to megahertz. Now, what's interesting is all the material on the planet, the atoms with which we're made, gold, silver, everything, is vibrating at different frequencies. For example, cesium chloride, which is radioactive, vibrates at one of the highest frequencies of any known matter. That's around 9 billion hertz, which is getting close to where we're operating the internet today. So we're operating the internet and telecommunications approaching 8 gigahertz, 8 and 9 gigahertz. Well, that's cesium. Now that means the next step is vibrating matter, and so that it becomes light, which therefore it becomes so light that it becomes an anti-gravitic craft.
That's how they move the blocks,
right,
of the pyramids.
Well, that's what the, you know, the trying to remember his name in Florida, Lee Scallion.
Edward Lee Scallion.
You see, he had this wheel of magnets, and he would, I've done this experiment in my own lab. You take a bunch of magnets, neodymiums, put them on a round steel plate on your electronic drill, and get an EMF meter, and spin them. When you spin magnets, you get a huge magnetic field. When you don't spin them, you get a really small field.
And it just floated the blocks into place.
So he spins his magnets, and then he adds higher frequencies with his little cone-shaped transmitter, and the blocks are floating. That's how he did it. So what I'm saying is frequency is a whole stepping up process where matter can start to vibrate and become light itself.
Let's take some calls here for you, David. As they line up, we'll go to Kyla in Chicago to get going here. Hi, Kyla.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Good. Great to talk to you. I was wondering if there is any significance with either the frequency or something with Pythagoras with the number 942. It's kind of like this weird lucky number that follows me everywhere. I'll at least see it like, I don't know, 20 times a day. At the time, on
really?
License plates, all sorts of things. And if the first three digits of my phone number, so it kind of found me.
Well, you should get a tone generator online and play that number and see how it makes you feel.
Now, how would you do that, David? How would you play that number?
Well, there's all these tone generating softwares for Mac and for PCs, you know, and there's good ones and bad ones, but you can find all kinds of them online and just punch in the number and listen to it.
What does that mean when someone, because I see 111 or 1111 a lot, what does that mean when somebody sees a certain pattern of numbers repeatedly?
Well, if I told you, well, this is really funny that you said that, because just 2 days ago, my wife and I were shopping at the health food store, and our bill came to $111.11.
Too bad it wasn't $11.11.
Yeah, and I tell you, I know what that number means as a tone. It's part of a scale, and there are seven scales that I've found that are perfectly harmonic, and I found a master number that can take any base number, including the 940-something number the caller just said, and I can multiply it by that number 10 times and create 10 tones, and they won't distort. It's a master key. This is a master key number, and I've tested it, and oh my God, the effects on consciousness when you can create limitless scales that are absolutely perfect, it will transform music and sound on this planet forever.
If you listen to a certain tone for a long time, again, like they pointed out for miracles and things like that, I mean, would those things really happen?
Well, see, that's just it. That's what, you see, the Sikhs, you know, who wear the white turbans in India,
yeah.
It's all the sound and the light. It's all using sound, and sound...
Now, they generate that with their own mouths, don't they?
Yeah, well, you start with your mouth. But you got to learn it from an oral master. You can't just make up tones. It has to be perfect. That's how the native, you know, First Nation people and the native elders did it in the Americas. You can't just go out and guess the tones. You have to learn it perfectly. And when you learn how to tone it perfectly, your atoms and your cells will start to resonate, and you'll start converting. Sound will become light. And you'll start to become light, and you get really naturally high from these tones that I've discovered. You feel so good. I mean, I play them for people in my house, and they're like, oh my God, I could just listen to this all day. But I don't use single tones. I blend them up. Now, there are certain single tones if you listen. I mean, you know, this is where I'm heading next, is I'm teaching these tones in this online course where you can learn how to breathe and do the tones and activate your light body. Now, in the original Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, the way Jesus said the Lord's Prayer, he says, O thou from whom the breath of life comes, who fills all realms with sound, light, and vibration. So he's addressing what is known as the logos in Greek, meaning the perfect harmonic vibration, as God. That's the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, in his language. So the Lord's Prayer changed throughout history and became something completely different than what it started as. But if you go back to the book of Genesis, it says in the beginning God breathes this spirit upon the waters, and then there's light. So God is using a vibration to activate the waters, which are made of hydrogen, and once they're activated, they fuse, and then you have stars which give off light. Well, the Rig Veda, which is over 10,000 years old, the first copies found in Turkey say the same thing. In the beginning, there was a void and darkness, and then there's a vibration, and the vibration causes light. So the key is to find the perfect tone, and I believe that is what I've found.
Right, that is the key. Let's go next to Maryville. Johnny's with us on the wildcard line. Hi, Johnny, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, David. David had mentioned when he was talking about tones and frequencies and how they converted or indicated a certain geometry. And the first thought that popped into my mind was crop circles, and was wondering if he had any thoughts about the possibility that these crop circles maybe are some sort of messages that we could convert in a tonal manner.
Good question. What do you think of that,
Dave? I'm so glad you brought that up because I that was in the back of my mind. I mean, firstly, there are recordings that Colin Andrews has of tones that have been recorded during the making of Crop Circles in the middle of the night. And even though some of the recordings are kind of scratchy because of poor microphones, there clearly is a tone there. And I believe if I had those in my possession, I could match it. The other thing is, the cymatics experiments tell us that the geometries of a real crop circle that are created with vibrations, you can do the math. I can calculate all the frequencies in a crop circle formation and then duplicate them and scale them so that you can hear it. And there's a professor who did a great studies into water in different spas around the world, Professor Paul, he's on my Facebook. He suggested that I go to England and somebody give me a grant so I can take all the measurements and calculate all the frequencies of a real crop circle formation. But the problem now is there's so many fake ones. It's so hard to find the real ones. But there's no doubt that, you know, what the caller is saying is true. The geometries in the crop circles, you would never get geometries like that with a single frequency. Now, that's a really advanced conversation because a single tone vibrating through water or different types of metals or glass will cause different geometry. So it's not just the tone, it's the material it's reacting with. It's also the shape of the cymatic experiment plate that you're vibrating that's cooperatively responsible for the geometry. So the best way to look at geometries in cymatics is in water with a very high-speed camera and looking at it frame by frame.
Next up, we go to Wes in Taylor, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Hey, Wes, go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
it's a
thing.
Great show.
Thank you.
I've been actually using the solfeggio frequencies for a couple of years now for meditation and stuff. And I got to tell you, if you have not tried it, you need to, and because it's like the most relaxing thing in the world. You kind of get into a zone, you know.
Yeah.
My question is... for your guest, is there any significance to the number 3 in these tones? Because it seems to be popping, it keeps popping up. For instance, you have 174 hertz, and you have 417 hertz and 741 hertz. You know, you also have 285, 528, 852. You know, 396, 639, and 963. It goes in threes like that. I know is it the Bible that has a great places a great significance on the number 3, or was it the Egyptians, or I'm not sure which.
Well, see, there are ciphers. It's all about ratios. See, there's two numbers in math that remain the same whether you're measuring feet or metric centimeters or Greek feet. You always get the same number with ratio, and you always get the same number with frequency. As long as your resolution, meaning the fine unit of measure, is good on any unit of measure, frequency is a universal language, and so is ratio. So what I found with nature is it doesn't use whole numbers like solfeggio. The scale I found in the pyramid is non-whole numbers. They're digital sequences after... you know, the decimal. But they're not complicated. They're orderly, perfectly orderly decimal sequences. Now, phi, the golden ratio, is a non-whole number. But Fibonacci tells us, you know, Fibonacci was a young Italian man whose father was traveling to the pyramids and ancient sites, and he discovered inside of the pyramid this ratio known as the golden ratio, but his numbers 001, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21 and so on, the lower number divides into the higher number. It's approaching the golden ratio. You get there way up on the chain. So he starts with whole numbers, but you're left with this ratio that's a non-whole number. So the reason I don't believe solfeggio's tones are perfect, they're pretty darn good, and that's why you feel good when you listen to them. But they're not as perfect as the tones I have discovered because nature doesn't use whole numbers. It doesn't use a 1 and a 2 and a 3. But in ratios, it can.
Can you use this as a weapon, David?
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, I've talked to people that I've sold my harmonic frequency transmitters who work for big satellite companies, and one guy told me they know that the frequencies they're using are the worst frequencies to damage human DNA. They know this, and they transmit it through the Internet. And I know what those numbers
are.
Or
they bombard people with it, huh?
Well, because it's all part of a depopulation thing. The world's overpopulated. We can destroy people's nervous systems through frequency transmission, and that's what HARP is. And that's what I've seen things way worse than HARP. HARP is a baby. I've seen things on Google Earth up in Nome, Alaska, that make HARP look like nothing. I've seen transmitter arrays in the mountains. And then when I posted it on Facebook, they went and Google Earth went and blurred that whole area of the forest. But our military also uses chemtrails to spray aluminum and silica and other metals to cause frequencies to multiply in the atmosphere. It makes the atmosphere more frequency conductive. So they can use frequencies to harm and even damage the astral plane, because the astral plane is an electrical subtle energy field that surrounds the planet. And I know a lot of people who are very good at going out of body, like myself and many others, who suddenly at a certain point in history in the last 20 years, it got harder and harder and harder to leave the Earth out of body in the astral body. But the light body, which is known as the causal body in ancient India, is impossible to trap. Now, there's an experiment in Claude Swanson's book, The Synchronized Universe, that he says that Robert Monroe was caged in the sleeping area.
Who was great at OBEs.
He was great at OBEs, the master at leaving his body. He was the perfect one for this experiment. They transmitted certain frequencies into his sleeping area, and he was trapped. He said, I couldn't get out of body. Now, that's pretty terrifying to think that the astral plane can be manipulated with frequencies. However, if you get the light body, the third body, there's no way they can touch you.
David, get out your website for folks that might be just driving around somewhere.
Well, my website is lightstreamtechnologies.com, where my energy pendants and my harmonic field transmitters are. But if you want a PDF on this, on these tones and frequency course, I'm going to be giving, just write davidsarita@outlook.com, and I'll send you a brochure.
And we've got some video that David supplied us at coasttocoastam.com. Do take a look at it if you haven't peeked at it yet. And when we come back with David in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, we're going to take final phone calls. And again, those of you who like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, all that's at coasttocoastam.com. And do go to my calendar, too. I've got a couple events for the remaining portion of this year. I'm going to be in Toronto on November 8th. And then a week later, I'm going to be in Nevada at a major UFO conference. So if you're in that area, come on out as well. All that on our calendar at coasttocoastam.com. On our next Coast to Coast program, John Lott joins us for a couple hours as we talk about more guns, less crime, and some of his latest work. And then Walter Cruttenden joins us with some ancient mysteries. So we've got everything for you on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. David Serrato with us. David, you say that high-frequency UFOs are all around us. Explain the significance of that.
Well, I mean, Pythagoras said that all the nine planets are inhabited by spiritual beings of light, that to themselves are perfectly physical, but to us we would say, okay, you're vibrating at a different frequency than us, so when we see you, you look vaporous or see-through. But now with cameras, you know, a lot of digital cameras. In fact, I remember one night when my daughter was just an infant, I was on your show and I had the baby monitor with me.
I remember that.
Yeah, the infrared camera, and a ball of light just, you know,
popped in there,
hovering right over her and then goes shooting out above the ceiling. And that might have even been her spirit energy being captured in the camera. I don't know. But there were times, I remember when my daughter was first born and she was coming in and out of body, where I'd be in the bedroom and I'd see this bright golden light, and I thought my wife had turned on a bright light in the bedroom, and I wake up and it's pitch black. And it's kind of like that. The significance is that there's an evolution, that we go from these organic physical beings that are resonating at, you know, brainwave frequencies that are very nice, very resonant with planets and even stars, which are also very low frequencies, like the frequency of Earth. But we slowly start vibrating and resonating and resonating as we spiritually mature, and we use perfect tonal language to do this. In India, it's called mantra. In Tibet, they don't use, you know, the actual word mantra, but they use sounds, and they even have their own scales that are so perfect that once you've done it, you know, you've done these tones for a lifetime, you develop powers. You develop the ability, like Milarepa, to, you know, transform your body in quantum leap and appear on this mountaintop, and suddenly you're on that mountaintop. And it's all done through sound. It's all done through sound. So UFOs, I believe there were civilizations on this planet, and there are several. One on the small island off the coast of Europe, I can't remember the name of it, Machu Picchu and other places, where I think they resonated and started vibrating into these higher dimensions, not unlike the Celestine prophecy.
Interesting that they knew this ancient technology.
Well, a lot of the technology is frequency, it is mastering tones. And we know, like the Tibetan levitation experiments, where the Tibetans would stand in an arc, a half or a third circle, and they would chant these with drums and also other instruments, these ranges of frequencies, and at the lensing conversion point in the arc, they'd put a stone and the stone would levitate. You know, and Lee Scallion is using spinning magnetic fields and frequencies to levitate stones. So the key is to search for the numbers to generate the perfect steps. You got to step yourself up. You can't just immediately go to the high frequency. You have to slowly vibrate yourself up. And what in meditation, it takes years of mastering a single scale of going up and down and up and down and up and down. And then you start going into these super blissful, ecstatic. I mean, I can do this almost every time I meditate within about 40 minutes, there's so much ecstasy, sometimes I can hardly move. My nervous system is being bathed in so much pleasure and ecstasy. It's pretty mind-blowing. But it's taken me years and years to learn how to do this naturally, you know. No plants, no nothing, just doing it. And sometimes my wife gets up after I'm done meditating when our daughter's gone to sleep, and she does this heart breathing where she's breathing through her heart. And my whole body is just bathed in ecstasy and pleasure without her laying a finger on me. It just transmits. And this is what happens with the breath and the sound and the light work that Jesus addressed in the original Lord's Prayer and Aramaic. It's consistent with what the Sikhs taught. It's consistent with what the Tibetans are doing. But I believe perfect tones can accelerate that process much faster. And some UFOs were probably once physical beings, because your body has to turn into light as well.
And they morphed?
You evolve and you turn into light, and you don't really want to come back down again. And that's what I think I'm capturing with my video camera, pointing it into the sun. They're around the whole time.
Let's take some final calls here for you, David. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Josie's with us. Hi, Josie. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, David. Hi, George.
Hi.
I met you and bought your pendant, David, with the blue Brazilian quartz. I can't notice anything with it, but I wear it frequently. I'm hoping that your sound someday will be developed so that we can hear a disc of some sort and get healing for our skin cancers and all the other problems that we have down here on Earth. But the real reason that I'm calling here is that, and David Jordan Maxwell should take a note of this if he's listening, and that is that this 369, I noticed, I didn't notice, I learned this at a conference that I was in. There was a health freedom conference. They used to have them in Richmond. Now they have them only in Chicago, I think. And this man that knew scalar wave technology would say to a person, point your finger at this symbol. It's to the right of the portrait on the tens, twenties, and $50 bills, which is the ones we use the most. And your arm, when you test it with the kinesiology testing, would test weak. And as soon as you put 369 over that symbol, or some combination of that particular numbers and frequencies, the it would change immediately. And so, which made me wonder, George, if perhaps they have done some radionics or something on our what was then a few years back a new money, which had these portraits with these symbols. One has an eagle, and another one has a. There's different symbols by each portrait's name of Mr. Grant or Jackson or anyway, I've forgotten what off the immediate moment. And it really makes a difference if you put 369 by the symbol or some combination of that number. And I'm thinking guilt and fear. And boy, this planet certainly is a planet of fear, and there's a lot of guilt going on in our country. We're guilt for being white. We're guilt for being black. We're guilt for being whatever. And that needs to be dealt with. And so I know that Jordan Maxwell dealt a lot with the money, and I don't know if it was radionics, but we need to overturn that. And so I do this. When I receive one of those bills of 10s, 20s, or 50s, I do that. And I wondered if... and the other thing I'm wondering about, David, if you can ever make a video, a tape of some kind where we can listen to the frequency and get rid of our skin cancers and our other things, diseases down here that for those of us who haven't been able to meditate for 40 years.
All right, let's get some of his reaction to that, David.
Well, 369 is ratio of threes. You know, 3 times 3 is, you know, 3 times 2 is 6 and times 3 is 9. So it's a ratio of threes, which are whole numbers. And it just shows you, you know, how that's a very, very simple harmonic scale. But, you know, to say money, to me, money is energy. It's just energy. And if we realize that we can just print an infinite amount of money to create an infinite amount of jobs for people to create beautiful things in the world, our government wouldn't even need to tax us. They just need to print money and go build a school, pay the teachers, make a highway. Money's worthless until people build something or do something with it. You know, we still come from this negative place about money, that it's a debt and it's not a service and it's not in abundance. I mean, there's no shortage of resources. There's no shortage of zero-point energy. There's no shortage of anything except for the willingness of government to move money and put people to work to make things, you know, more beautiful. But as far as frequencies in cancer, I mean, I've already seen with this scale going through my magnetic transmitter device, I've had many people with cancer reverse it in a matter of 3 months and go to their doctor and have their protein levels tested, and they all go back to normal. But can I make that as a medical claim? No, because maybe on one person it works and another person doesn't work. You know, I have thousands of people who can absolutely feel the energy of my pendants, and I have some people who can't feel anything, but I can measure it on a voltmeter and see the change in the energy of the body. But most people can't perceive that there is an energy shift that's already that's actually occurring because of that. So there's the ability to sense and perceive a change energetically, and then there's, you know, changes energetically can take a while to work into a system. Like, you can't just listen to these tones and you're going to be enlightened in 10 minutes unless you're amazingly sensitive. But if you do it over and over and over, like the Buddhists do, and, you know, the Sikhs do, and the Hindus do, and the mystic Christians do, you will start resonating. You will start turning into light.
All right, back to the calls. Final calls we have. Steve is in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies. Steven, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, Steve.
Great show, man. He said something that made a book that I'm reading make sense. He said that the sound was in a string. And in the third book that Zachariah Sitchin wrote called The Wars of Gods and Men, he's writing about the first pyramid wars, and the son of Enlil defeats, I think, Enki's sister or something like that, and he gets into the pyramid, and there's these stones, and there's notches for the stones in the pyramid, and he's really angry. He's won the war now. And he removes these stones from the pyramid because this is the place that the strings originated from. And I think it was used, I think, as a weapon by Enki's sister. And that was, he needed to destroy that part of the pyramid. He didn't destroy the pyramid, but he had to get rid of those stones because that's how they made the strings. And have you ever heard of that before? That's my question.
Well, I've read all of Sitchin's book, and yes, you can use frequencies as a weapon, but the only way frequencies become destructive is when they're distorted, when they're non-harmonic. A non-harmonic wave can destroy life forms. A harmonic wave is not going to destroy anything. It's only going to build and rebuild DNA and rebuild life force energy. And we can see that in aura camera testing. And so the military uses distorted or discordant waves to cause destruction, and they can induce heart attacks. I mean, there's many people in this field who have been getting heart stress and heart attacks even recently. In the last 3 years, we've lost a few people that I think were too young to have died of a heart attack, and I think they may have been actually targeted by harmful frequencies. I mean, I have ways of protecting myself from that by pulsing, you know, my home with harmonic frequencies with the technology that I had to invent myself. But there were times when I was living in Sedona, Arizona, where I thought, we got to get out of here because there's something being used to disturb, you know, this space and maybe induce, you know, heart stress in me particularly. Because I'm out there, you know, I'm trying to teach people this stuff, and there's people who don't want this to happen. So were there, you know, I mean, in physics, basically, you just have to look at the way cells and life forms respond to different frequencies. But the frequencies in the pyramid are so melodic and so perfect, they could only, in the aura camera photography, they could only rebuild life. And the people I know with cancer that are using them and turning it around are living proof to me that these frequencies are absolutely beneficial. Are there other? There's probably limitless scales out there in the universe that have some benefit or some ability to give you a certain ability. There's numbers and numbers upon numbers that have never been discovered. We're very limited in the frequencies we generate musically, that we dance to, that we sing to. And why is it that certain tones just make you cry? You know, you hear a song and you hear a melody and your heart just opens up and you feel all this love because of a song, because of sound. I mean, how amazing is that?
It works.
It works.
Omar in Fullerton, California is with us now. Go ahead, Omar.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
How you doing, George? So, David, had a question besides being on Born 11/11/88. So I'm one of, you know, one of the younger callers, but I tend to see like 11/11, have like a 3/11, a lot of 444s mostly, or sometimes I don't know, like you were saying, David, like sometimes we tune ourselves to a different frequency. I would say there's been times in my life where I'm going through some hard times, but I kind of attract hummingbirds, and I see them more frequent than other places, like places where there's like no, you know, like hummingbird feeders or stuff like that. I mean, this is my question, like, why do I keep seeing, you know, these numbers, and why do I run into hummingbirds all the time? Is there a synchronicity between there?
What's going on there, David?
Well, there's a deep answer to the 11/11, harmonically, that I'm not going to give out yet. But the 444, my wife and I see all the time, and that is also a number inside of the pyramid. I mean, I recalibrated the royal qubit. There's a lot of different qubits out there, but I used Peter Lemaitre's Great Pyramid Decoded to find a true qubit length. And then, you see, the side of the Great Pyramid is 440 qubits of today's qubits, and that's the base of the music scale. A is 440, you know. So you build upon A, and you go, you know, you move through your, you know, you can go octaves lower than A 440, and you can go octaves higher, but it's still the same number, just regenerated. And my point is, the real number on the base of the pyramid from the cubic measurement I'm getting from La Missouria is closer to 444. And it's there's definitely something to this, what you keep seeing, numbers you keep seeing. The moment you look at a phone, why does everyone keep seeing 1111? Well, the secret of that will...
It's almost magical, David.
...will be out shortly, harmonically, because I know what that number means in a scale. It's mind-blowing what it means.
David, a minute to go. I'd like for you to mention your websites again, if you would.
Okay, for people who want to take interested in my online course on harmonics, just write davidsarita@outlook.com, and I'll email you a brochure. My website is lightstreamtechnologies.com for my harmonic resonator transmitters and the energy pendants. And I really appreciate you having me on today, George.
Thank you, David. You be well. Say hi to your wife for us, and we'll see you at an event somewhere, okay?
Okay.
David Sarita. Website's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget our program tomorrow for the first couple hours. John Lott joins us talking about more guns, less crime, and some of his latest work. And then Walter Cruttenden joins me as we talk about ancient myths. You're going to love that on Coast to Coast AM. And also, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. How do you do that? Just go to coasttocoastam.com and click those icons. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.